Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 90 Day Fiancé Wrap Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, Season 4, Episode 8, aka we gave y'all a here's what to expect during the season, and then we gave you nothing for Episode 8. But we're here to talk about it, of course. I am your host and conductor of the Hot Mess Express, Pizanvi Keeley, ready to go once more. And with me today is someone who is always a delightful guest, who we have not had their takes for this season yet, but is an incredible podcaster. You can find him talking about Married at First Sight right here on the Wrap Ups Network. You can hear him talking about Dear Edward and The Power over on Post Show Recaps at the moment. It is the one and only, the irreplaceable Jason Reed. Jason, how you doing, man?
You know what, Puya? F you. I'm out of here. I'm never doing your podcast again. 1 hour earlier. Puya, what's up, man? I'm happy to be here. Anticipating a great podcast where nothing will go wrong.
Nothing will go wrong. I think everything's going to go smoothly, or at least that's what we're going to have you believe in the first half. Should be a good time. Jason, it's always a delight having you on, man. Let the people know, what have your thoughts been on The Other Way, 8 episodes in?
Listen, Other Way is usually a really fun time because, one, they're mostly new people. Two, you do get like a lot of cultural like information shared through most of these couples. And I mean, coming off of a season like Happily Ever After, where everything just feels super produced, Other Way feels a lot more real and less produced because most of these people are getting to know each other in person for the first time, you know, typically. So I find The Other Way to be a lot better entertainment than something like Happily Ever After.
You're absolutely not wrong there. Again, I feel like getting everyone's drama for the first time is easily better than getting the same people's drama 8 times over on the Happily Ever After series. So I'm with you there in lockstep. But let's go over people's drama and let's start with the whole definition of the word drama here on this season. And we're going to kick it off with Nicole and Mahmoud. Typically a couple we leave for the end. We're going to start with them here, because we open the show with Nicole and Mahmoud and they're immediately in the street fighting. There's no context at all. And then, like Jason alluded, they hit you with the 5 hours earlier. So in these 5 hours, something went wrong. Let's find out what. So
I thought I missed something, Puya. I was like, wait a minute, what? Like, where do we leave them last episode? Like, how do we come in on this?
Dude, I fully thought, because I share my Discovery Plus logins with Liana, so I fully thought she had watched the show and had just kind of left it there and I just jumped in mid-episode. Turns out, no, that was not the case.
It's not often they do this. I mean, this is a convention they don't use very often. They have done it before, but it's very rare, actually.
You got a young up-and-comer in the editing room trying to do something different. It's like,
He's trying to innovate.
So the night before this day of fighting, they had been to the uncle's house, which we saw last episode. There was quite a bit of discussion there. Apparently they had, you know, they didn't leave uncle's place feeling all that good, but they agreed, no fighting. We're not going to fight. And Mahmoud has decided, you know, my uncle did say, lead by example. You got to ease him in on the teaching. So he's going to teach her how to pray. And Nicole's like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do that. So they go through the process of, you know, cleaning before the prayer, which is called the wudu. And then they get to the praying. She really actually seems to be taking to this, because when he was reciting the Quran in the middle of the prayer, he's using this cadence that we do use when we're reciting the Quran. It's like a little melodic in a way, which she hadn't heard him do before. So she was kind of smitten by this, Jason.
So, you know, I struggle with Nicole a lot. First of all, I'm not even sure how she really feels about the religion. Is she really buying into the religion, or is she just saying that to, you know, be with Mahmoud? Because when I hear her talk about it, I don't hear a lot of like passion in what she's saying. And then she's talking about how, you know, she hasn't heard him say this before, but when she has had plenty option to, because, you know, she's been around him for, you know, an extended period of time.
And he prays 5 times a day.
So. Right. Like, he even said, I think, like, she's you know, seen me do it before, but I guess she forgot. And so a lot of Nicole, I think, is like, I think she's putting on a lot for like the cameras, to be honest with you. And I'll talk about another instance where I feel that way later, like in the episode. But it just feels like, you know, and there has been some like conjecture around Nicole and Mahmoud. It's like, did they break up and then the call for 90 day came in and they're like, let's give it a shot for the 90 day. So I'm not sure how to read Nicole most of the time.
Yeah, to me, Nicole, in this scene specifically, and then later on, I feel like Nicole's mission is the journey to compromise. What parts of the religion, what parts of this tradition can I agree to then maybe get off some of the other stuff that I do not agree with? And I feel like this is one of them where she says she's feeling a lot of peace here with Mahmoud in the moment. Now, obviously, they're not talking. He is praying. So there's not a lot of room for fighting to happen here. But we get there really quickly, Jason, because right after this, they're like, yeah, it's a hot day. You know what? Swimming. Let's do swimming. Swimming could be good. And she's like, well, can I wear a bikini? And he's like, yeah, no, you cannot wear a bikini. She's like, oh, do I have to wear the other? He's like, yeah, you have to wear the other outfit. If you don't have that, you can never swim again. This, of course, is referring to the burkini that we saw earlier in the end of the last episode.
Yeah, this is where she's like, do I have to wear it? And he's like, of course you do. And then she asks him, like, do I wear anything under it? And then he gets all huffy. But later on in the episode, though, she does mention that she's worn it before. So I'm like, did you really not know? And then you're just trying to, you know, make a spectacle out of this. I wasn't sure.
So that's the thing to me is I found Mahmoud's reaction to be weird, even if she has worn it before. But it's like she asked, do I have to wear anything underneath? And he reacted like she cussed out his lineage or something. He like stormed off, didn't talk. And then she follows him. He's in the kitchen holding a cigarette. I was like, listen, as a smoker who has definitely taken a smoke break when things got hectic, this is not enough for a smoke. This was not enough for you to light one up at all. Come on now.
Yeah, he definitely left in a huff. And I wasn't sure if that was because, like, I've told you before, like, you know, like, I don't know why you're messing with me, like, because you know the answer to the question, like, why you're asking these ridiculous questions. Even if that is the case, his passive aggressiveness is just over the top toxic, because, like, as he storms off and she, like, chases after him as they're wont to do to each other, like, are you okay, honey? What's going on? He's like, I'm fine, honey. I'm fine. Like, I've espoused my theory on the word babe before and baby before. For reality TV shows, the more babe and baby you hear out of a couple, the worse the relationship is. This is that to an extreme where we see honey, my love, every other sentence. That means things are not good here.
Yeah, to me, it is absolutely ridiculous. The notion that this was enough to have you be full Ben Affleck meme standing outside with the smoke, all stressed out. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. But he, you know, she then says in the middle of this, when he's giving her attitude, that to confessional, she says, he resents me for being American, I think. Now, I don't know if that's the case here, Nicole. I don't think there's resentment for you being American, but I do think that there definitely is something, because he's clearly upset over the smallest thing here. And it's not like she said, no, I'm not going to wear it. She agreed to wear it. So where's the stress? We'll get there in a little bit here. But first, they have to get a tuk-tuk to go to the hotel that has the swimming pool. They get ready for the swimming. She wears the burkini, but says, I'm not going to wear the hijab portion, which is basically, it's kind of like, what outfit could you say this is similar to, Jason, if we're trying to paint a word picture for somebody? Because it definitely reminds me of something, but I can't figure out what.
With the actual burkini itself?
Yes. Like it was, the headpiece part? Yeah.
It's like a one-piece tracksuit. Has like a hood on it, like, and you know, I just the image of her standing there in the burkini with the hood with the hijab on was just like, it will be forever emblazoned in my mind, because she looks so pitiful. Like I recognize that face. That's the face I made when I was a small kid and had to be dressed up to go to church every Sunday morning. And I was just like, why do I have to wear this suit? I'm hot. I'm itchy. I don't like this. I'm just sitting there pouting, like, as I'm getting ready to go inside the church, like, as I'm like dressed in the suit I don't want to wear. That's the look that Nicole gave. I mean, I said, I recognize that look. That's like, she's just so dejected and so, like, just so over it.
Yeah, I've definitely, you know, had that moment of you check yourself in the mirror and then you stand facing away from the mirror for 4 seconds before you head on out.
You're just questioning your life and your place.
What are we doing? All right, let me just got to put the big boy face on and then go. She was not living in the burkini. She does, again, remove the hood and says, I'm not wearing the hijab portion. She goes out to Mahmoud. Mahmoud doesn't seem to put up a fight about it at all. Doesn't seem to be fazed.
I think she was itching for a fight.
Yes.
And he was just like, yeah, I don't care. Like, you don't wear a hijab anyway. So, like, well, I didn't think anything else was going
to
be different.
Right. And I think to Mahmoud, that's like the compromise, right? Where
yes,
she accepted the burkini without the hijab. That's chill. That's fine. And now, go ahead.
The interesting thing about Nicole and you called it the journey to compromise is I think her journey to compromise, her way of compromising is promising the world and then trying to get him to back off of things. So I fully believe that she told him she would do certain things. Then once she got there, she tries to wear him down to like ease up on those things. I don't think that's a great way to compromise.
Yeah, I mean that's the big discussion here, right? Which is, wow, Mahmoud looks like he's being unreasonable. Well, if he's been told you're going to get 100% of this, and now he's being told actually it's more like 40. He's like, well, I said yes to 100, not 40. But then there's feelings. It is complicated, all that stuff. But no, I 100% agree with you here. So they don't fight. And then she brings up, you know, a little bit of compromise could go a long way. And he, I don't think, quite understood what she meant by this. But he then wanted to take his shirt off because he's wearing like just a T-shirt and his swimsuit. And she's like, no, why do you need the shirt off? You're fine. I was like, oh, I see. This is the battle. Like, if I can't be wearing a bikini, you can't be wearing just swimsuits. But then he says, no, please, just a little bit. And then he does it anyway. And I was like, Mahmoud, I feel like you should have just taken the L there. I feel like that would have been a fair compromise if she just wanted you to not wear a shirt or wear the shirt, rather.
Yeah, she was trying to eye for an eye him. And that's not the world he lives in. That's not the culture he lives in. Like, not that way at all. So he's just like, I don't know what the problem is. Like, I'm going to do what I want. You have to do what you have to do. I did think it was interesting where they're talking about compromise. And he says to her, you know, I can't like compromise more. If I do that, I'll make myself unhappy and we'll be in the same position where somebody will be unhappy, I think is what he was trying to say. And she's just like, well, if somebody's going to be unhappy and compromise. Everyone's unhappy when compromising things. That's the way compromise works. But she just cannot get through her head that compromise is not the way of living there at all.
No. And it's very clear to me for Mahmoud. It's like, all right, so we have to compromise, but that means either you compromise and we just go about our lives, or you try and make me compromise and I'm unhappy. But if you're unhappy, that's fine by me.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
One of us can be unhappy and that's you. I'm sorry. That's my decision.
And I think she's mostly to blame because I do think like that he laid out what he wanted pretty like plainly before she moved there. And she made the choice to move there.
Well, that's the thing is that they were together, right? She moved there initially. This is 2.0. She moved there initially. They got an apartment. She left. And I'm assuming in that time span before she moved back again, they must have talked about this at least a little bit. And there were promises made that I think she's definitely struggling with. And I talked about this on one of the podcasts where I had said that, you know, when I was moving to the States here, I made promises to Liana that I definitely then later realized, oh, this is harder than I thought. And I definitely struggled with finding the balance / like adapting until like way later. There's still stuff now that I'm like, yeah, I'm still having a bit of a struggle with it. So it definitely comes with the territory, but for something as, and for us, it was more so like, can I sleep earlier and wake up with Liana like during the day, as opposed to like doing my own hours, which was especially during quarantine tough because we lived in a one bedroom and Liana needed to work from like 9 a.m. and I couldn't be asleep because I'd be in the bed behind her. So that wasn't going to work. But now it's a little bit different. Obviously, we've moved on from that. But this is a lot more serious. This is a whole like a way of life that Mahmoud follows daily that is, you know, tied into his religion, tied into his traditions. So it's going to be a lot harder for him to put that aside, especially when that's kind of all he knows and kind of what she has agreed to.
Right. For you and Liana, it's preferential. Like, what would I rather do? What would I rather have you do? But what can I compromise? I would rather have you do. For Mahmoud, it's like, no, this is what I was raised in. This is deep rooted life, who I am. So I think it's a lot harder for him to compromise on those values and things. He's already done that in parts, and she cannot see her way to that. It's a huge deal for him to compromise. She doesn't get that. She just thinks, why are you being so controlling? Like, that's her mindset. But it's not really about that.
Well, that's the thing too, is that when you look at compromises, you can't really put weight on. I guess you can put weight on them, but if you're doing a one-for-one comparison, what has Mahmoud compromised on? Nicole's not wearing a hijab. And then also Nicole wanted to meet his friends and he budged on that. So there's those two things. And then if Nicole's looking at that, she goes, okay, these are two smaller things, but for me, I can't dress this way. I can't do this. I have to pray. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. You're asking a lot more of me than I am of you. And that is another thing in you know, relationships where you're always going to have, not always, I shouldn't say that, but there's always one part of the couple, I feel like, that might be a little bit more, I need these things, otherwise it's not going to work. And the other person who's like, I'm fine. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't have to. So not all compromises are going to be equal, because sometimes one part of the couple is going to require more things to go, not their way, but to go a certain way than the other one who's like, it's fine. So
yeah, I mean,
here as well.
Yeah, in a couple, it's like compromise is a tricky situation because for some situations, there's not a lot of compromise. Like, for instance, like, are we going to have a child or not? There's no halfway between that.
It's a yes or no.
Someone's going to get their way and someone's going to not. Like,
yeah.
There's no like, we'll have a half a kid or we'll adopt a kid for half of the year. That's not happening. So it's about who gets their way sometimes. Sometimes there is a compromise to be struck, but sometimes there's not. And I think in this case, it's either one, you go all in or you don't. And I feel like Nicole moved there knowing what was expected of her. Now she's like, maybe I can get away with not doing most of the stuff. But she should have known better. She's been here already. She's done this already.
She's done the dance before. But I think the hope also was, well, we were apart again. So when I go back, he's not going to want to lose me again. And I don't want to lose him. So we'll have to find the compromises that I'm thinking in my head could work. Now, here's my issue with the episode. I've had many issues, but this is one of them. So they gave us the pretext of there was a fight. Here's 5 hours earlier. This is what led to the fight. Jason, none of this leads to the fight, because the next damn scene is them fighting. And apparently when the cameras weren't rolling, some stuff happened that led to the fight. So really, none of this mattered all that much for the fight. It really didn't.
We need any of the pool stuff. We need any of the prayer stuff. They were just teasing us along and then like, oops, we forgot to record it. That was definitely a little frustrating.
Yeah, the whole thing is, and we get this from Nicole's perspective, where, well, the cameras weren't rolling, she went to Mahmoud, and he was acting kind of funny, so she asked him what's wrong. And he passive-aggressively said something along the lines of, well, you wouldn't care anyway. And she snapped on him, she stormed off, and then we see scenes of them in the street he's trying to stop her from leaving. And then she's like, you know, she pushes him away. She's like, leave me alone. I don't want to be here. Leave me alone. I'm just going to go away, whatever. And then he hits her with an ultimatum. He says, listen, I am going to go outside. I'm going to wait for you. If you're not there in 5 minutes, we're divorced. It's over. And then he left. She's sitting there talking to the camera. While she's sitting there, Mahmoud texts her and says, I'm getting an Uber. If you're not in this Uber with me, we're done. It's over. The Uber arrives, Mahmoud gets in it, no sign of Nicole. He leaves Nicole in the hotel lobby.
Yeah, man. He hit her with the old tomato, and just, this got ugly really quick. This got ugly real fast. This, like, we talked about in HEA, like, a bunch of the toxic couples, like Ed and Liz and Angela and Michael. This is really reminiscent of those types of relationships where it gets really ugly. I mean, you know, and it's a way where she pushes him, and in his culture, like, you cannot do that. So he like flies off the handle, and you can see the like argument within him. Like, all right, I'm out here, first of all, in public. Second of all, being filmed. So like he goes back and forth between like really mad, like, and then trying to settle the situation down at the same time.
Yeah. And then they don't give us anything else. The episode, this was the last scene of the episode, so they bookended them. They ended the episode with this. We do not see them on the next time on. So we're getting the Nicole Mahmoud bye week next week, perhaps. Maybe. We don't know. And we don't know. Are they together? Are they not together? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. And it was interesting when she's like in the lounge place, and she's like, you know, he's 9 years younger than me. He thinks he's gonna talk to me any way he wants to. Like, this is not America, Nicole. Like, I don't know what she has to do to like get that through her head. Like, this is him. This will be your life if you stay here. You need to decide whether or not you want that or not. And you know, I guess need to cool off because we get the bye week next week. I think. I look back to all the previews we've gotten before the season and that, you know, that halfway point preview. And I feel like we've gotten most of their content. So I don't know if this is going to continue. It's like they might be over.
I hope so. I hope so because I need them to please leave. Because, again, I do not think either of them need this. I think, you know, there was a moment in the fight where Mahmoud said something along the lines of, you know, if I had an Egyptian wife, she would never talk to me this way, like this, outside, in front of people, whatever. So I think they've both got a bit of marriage remorse. And I think that, you know, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but love is one ingredient of many in a marriage. And love is not going to be enough to sustain this with the amount of differences y'all have.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both really kind of toxic people in different ways. And the whole story this season has been like the same thing. It's been a different song, same tune. So I wouldn't be mad if their story went away.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a very interesting Reddit thread that I saw earlier today. It is a British woman who's non-Muslim, married to an Egyptian man who is Muslim. And she's put up an AMA in case people want to like ask. And then one of the questions was, we've had conflicting reports here as to whether Mahmoud's expectations of Nicole are considered extreme in most Muslim countries. What do you guys think? This person replied, his expectations are not what I'm familiar with in Egypt. He lives in what my husband calls the inner city, which is old fashioned and stricter. We just now watched the part where we saw his aunt and uncle. And my husband said they look like a sector called Sufi, which is similar to what you might think when you think of Saudi. They are much stricter. She rushed into converting, which is on her for not knowing what she was doing before doing it. Mahmoud also should have advised her to not convert when she clearly didn't know enough about it to make that commitment. So, and then she says, while his uncle is a pretty strict Muslim, he also says something very important to the story's narrative. If she didn't convert and stayed Christian, this wouldn't be an issue, which is true. A Christian woman is under no obligation to convert to Islam to get married. Any family that said otherwise is putting their personal preference on you and not Islam. If she didn't convert, things would have been easier. And this is 100% the case. Now, I have not really studied Islam in a long time as a Muslim. But I do remember back in the day, this is like grade 8, 9, maybe Islamic studies class. I believe when it comes to Islam, if you are a non-Muslim man trying to marry a Muslim woman, I believe then they might require you to convert. Whereas if you are a Muslim man and you're marrying a Jewish or Christian woman, I do not think there's a requirement to convert. Again, anyone feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on this. I may have just remembered this from a movie that I saw or something of the sort. But I think this is the big point, is that had she not jumped in with 2 feet to convert, I don't think any of these issues would be present because no one would be expecting anything else of her. Right. Like this wouldn't be an issue.
But I wonder if she decided not to convert, if they would be like all on board with him marrying this Christian woman, if they wouldn't be like, I don't know if you want to marry this Christian woman. Like, that's not really like our way. Exactly. I just wonder if he would get pushed back in that way, which is a different way he's getting pushed back now, but it's still pushback. So I do wonder that.
Yeah, I don't know, right? Because I think if I'm going off what the uncle said, it's that had she just been, because, okay, so I'm looking at, I just Googled, does a man have to convert to Islam for marriage? And it says here, the Quran is clear that Muslim men are allowed to marry non-Muslim women as long as their brides are people of the book. So either Christian or Jewish, both of whom recognize Abraham as their spiritual forefather as Muslims do. A Muslim woman, however, cannot marry a non-Muslim man unless he converts. So I don't think it would have been an issue. I think it would have been different. I think maybe they would have had a hard time adapting potentially, but they wouldn't have been like, no, you cannot do this.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So that one promise without thinking, Nicole, has got you in this pickle, and the two of you are making the rest of us very upset week in and week out. So thank you for that. Really, truly appreciate
it. For sure.
Oh my God. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the fleeting story of Osama and Debbie. All right. In what was the smallest segment of the entire show this week, we have Osama and Debbie, who, you know, we've not really seen a lot of. Again, my big theory was that this relationship's not going to last because Debbie would be a star in any other season, given that they're barely here. Screams, this isn't going to work out to me. So we pick up where we've left off, and Debbie was like, yeah, so I've been in Morocco since last night, and I thought, oh my God, it's only been a night. And we've been stretching three episodes for one night.
Exactly. That should tell you that Debbie and Osama are not long for this 90-day season.
Not at all. Because here's the update, folks. She didn't sleep well. Osama comes in to check on her. Osama also says he didn't sleep well. They go to the beach to hang out, and then they see a camel and they ride the camel.
End of story.
Yeah. Did I miss anything?
No. You know, Debbie is such a character. Like you said, I would kill to see her on A Single Life. You know, the way that she talks and the way she is so, like, so interesting. Oh, Osama. I just, you know, it's definitely, she's definitely an interesting character, but I just don't think this is going to go any type of way. She was so excited to see that camel. I just wondered if those guys were like, I don't know, on their way home, like, if this is just a regular day for them, they're just walking on the beach with a camel, and then this crazy American lady's like, "Why are you riding the camel?"
Yeah, for a fleeting moment, I thought, what if this is, they're not running a service where you can take camel rides? What if they just happen to live on, like, a close by area where they have, like, camels, horses, and they're, like, you know, just walking around, and this woman's like, we would like to pet the camel and then ride the camel. That was sweet, though. Seeing the two of them on the camel was lovely. I did enjoy that, but we really got nothing else, Jason. And beyond that, they weren't even on The Next Time On. So are we really going to have two couples be on a bye week next week?
I mean, we got the whole panel this week. So it's like, for them to, like, cut two people out, like, next week, it seems like giving us a lot and giving us a little. So I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they were gone, because they need to stretch out all their content as much as they can. So I wouldn't be surprised if they also got a bye week. I'm just really interested to see how she meets his family. That's one thing I'm definitely looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to more accessories, like, you know, the lion necklace, the peacock fan that was seen in this episode. I wanted to come in and be like, how many peacocks had to die for that fan? It was probably only one. I mean, they probably just took the peacock's, like, tail, right? That's probably just about it.
I think so. Yeah, they're really giving me nothing, and it's disappointing. I don't know where we're going with them. I do think that it's going to end with her leaving at the end of the month, like we've been told you would like it to happen. And then I don't know if Julian's going to let her get on that plane ever again.
She's going to have to face her grown ass son. That's so disapproving. Now, the question is, do you think this was truly a case of Osama misunderstood her intentions when she was moving?
I don't think. I think Osama fully knew what this woman was getting herself into and was like, well, I want her to come see me, so I'm going to wait till she gets here and then tell her she has to leave.
Yeah, I mean, he literally told her last episode. She references in this episode, like, I didn't think you would come if I told you the truth. And now he's like, oh, no, it was just a misunderstanding. No, buddy, you knew exactly what you were doing. I don't know if he just got, like, cold feet when she showed up there. And he was just like, on second thought, I don't know if I want you around, like, all the time. Maybe just go back after 2 months.
Yeah, so you are lying, okay?
Liar.
Lying.
You're a liar, Osama.
All right. So then let's just skip on over and talk about Chris and Jamie. They also had, again, a bit of a quiet episode of sorts, but it's more than what we've gotten from them in a minute. Chris has now been in Colombia for 5 days. As we saw, she was bedridden for the last episode while Jamie went out and had some meals with her friends. Now, Chris is very happy that Jamie has been taking care of her and has been bringing her drinks, bringing her snack, making her eat and drink when she couldn't. And they are currently getting an update from the court side of things, where Star, Chris's daughter, has messaged her and said, yeah, we're currently trying to see if you can do the court without you, which is good news for Jamie. Jamie's very happy about this.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, Chris must have got the good stuff in between episodes. Because, you know, last episode, she was bedridden, just moaning and crying. And now she's like, hey, what's up? I'm all good. Let's go. Let's get up and go. So I was happy to see she's gotten whatever she needed to feel a lot better.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see that as well. They're going glamping, okay? Because Chris had found these like little pod things where they could do a little getaway, and they're planning on doing that. They've, happened to end up having this planned for their anniversary, the anniversary of the 1 year mark of them talking. So
I didn't even realize it had been that soon. Just same 1 year. I was like, oh wow, this has gone by at a like speed of light pace.
You know,
we're here after only a year.
Technically, they should have done this next month, because didn't Chris just ghost Jamie for an entire month in the middle of this 12 months as well? So technically, it's not even been a year that they've been talking.
Exactly. Yeah. Technically, it's only our 11 month anniversary.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it to you again coming up. So,
oh my God. Yeah.
Wait a couple more months.
Oh Lord. Yeah. So, okay. So they go to this getaway. Chris kind of goes a little bit ahead of Jamie because Chris is planning to do the proposal here. She starts trying to spell out, would you marry me with rose petals? And then says, you know, I don't even know if she's going to understand this because I did it in English. I was like, well, why didn't you do this in like not English? Did you do it in your language?
So many resources, like look it up on the phone, ask somebody around there. Like, that's just kind of lazy at that point.
Yeah, you can just do Google Translate, see what it says, and then you don't even need to know where all the letters, you just need to follow the shapes, and then you've got it.
Jamie must have had the translation egg on her when she went to go check in, so she didn't know how to translate it or something. Because, I mean, that's just kind of lazy. She's like, I don't even know if she's going to be able to read this. Then why don't you change it? Como se dice marry me? Like, come on.
Please. Yeah. I mean, although I will say it's absolutely universal where you have rose petals and a ring sitting on the bed. What does that mean to you? You know, everyone knows what that means.
Context clues will be able to tell you what is the intention is here.
For sure. Now, you know, she says yes. We have a very sweet moment. They're obviously very happy. Then we go into dinner time and there's some traditional Colombian dishes sitting in front of them. Apparently, Chris is a very picky eater and was like, I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to eat that, but I'm not going to let her know. So I'm going to fake eating. I was like, all right, good luck.
She pulled a kid fake eating. I'm just going to chop everything up, kind of move it around the plate. Just kind of make it look like I ate something.
Do they have chicken fingers or mac and cheese or something? Do you have chicken nuggets we can have maybe?
Can I get some dino nuggies?
I mean, I would crush a plate of those right now, but that's neither here nor there.
No lie, bro. No lie.
Yeah, straight up. Never too old for dino nuggies.
Never.
Now we get to the wedding talk. So Jamie would like to talk about their wedding. And there's talk about, okay, who's coming? And Chris says, well, my daughter Star's probably going to come. Is anyone from your family coming? And Jamie's like, absolutely not. Because we find out, Jamie talks about a little bit more that she has not come out to her family, not come out to her mom. And she isn't sure when she would do it. So that's going to cause a damper. And also her mom doesn't know she's getting married as well on top of that. And Chris gives us a confessional where she's not clearly not happy that Jamie isn't going to have family there, but also recognizes that only Jamie's going to know when the time is to talk to her mom. But she wishes that this wasn't the case.
Yeah, I like how understanding Chris is here of her situation, because, I mean, Chris herself went through the same thing recently at a much older age than Jamie is now. I mean, I feel like it was just like the past couple of years that Chris came out to her mom. So I did like that. You know, Chris has been someone of many antics in this season, but I felt like this is definitely a much more human moment from her. Not to say that she wasn't human before, but a mature moment, I should say, in this moment of being able to understand what Jamie's going through and not pushing Jamie to, you know, do it for me. Do it. I want your family at the wedding, as we have seen some people do in the past. I'm glad that she's letting Jamie take her own time with it. And she's going to be as understanding as she can be through the process with her.
I agree wholeheartedly with that sentiment as well. I'm very happy to see that there is understanding here. And I hope for Jamie, whenever the time is right, she, you know, feels comfortable doing so and hopefully gets completely accepted by her family with nothing changing. Now, in the next time on, looks like we're already at the wedding. So are we just time jumping with them, I guess?
I feel like they were planning the wedding like right around the court date. And I feel like it was that moment, like it may be the next day after this proposal, because you know, Chris was talking about having to go to court, but Jamie was telling her friends that if she goes to court, that'll be the same day as their wedding. So I feel like it won't be that big of a time jump, maybe a couple of days.
Yeah, that is my big question for the show right now, is I can't tell how far away from the finale we are, because some of these storylines feel like they're ending in a weird way.
It's tough to tell who's wrapping up when and where. It's never a linear timeline with 90 Day. Like, some people will get their whole season will take place over like a week, and then other people's will be multiple months. So it's really tough to tell, like, when people's stories are wrapping up, which is really interesting and frustrating. But I feel like, where are we at? What episode is this?
8.
It's only 8. So, like, I feel like usually a typical 90 Day season is like in the 20s. So we still have a way to go, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel like with 90 Day the Other Way, if I remember correctly, I feel like 18 episodes has kind of been the standard recently. So interesting. To me, it's like, but this, because last week it felt like with the still to come instead of next time on, I thought, okay, maybe this is the halfway point potentially. But then got to see a lot of this season on in this episode. Like, the Burkini stuff was all last week. We saw it this week. So I'm confused. Let me see. Season 3. Yeah, season 3 had a total of actually 15 episodes, including the tell-all was the 15th episode.
Okay.
And then season 2 was longer. Oh, my God. Season 2 was 22 episodes.
Ooh, yeah.
And then season 1 was also 22 episodes. So I do not think this is a 22 episode season. It doesn't feel like the pacing is there for 22 episodes, but if that's the journey, it's going to be a long one, Jason.
I feel like we're going to have some ways to go, and I'm wondering who we're going to have left. Because I mean, like you said, it feels like Damian O'Sullivan is going to wrap up pretty soon. Gabe and Isabel are having their like big moment next episode. And Chris and Jamie are getting married. Although in that still to come, we did see a lot more for them, where there's going to be another ghosting of Chris to Jamie of like a month. So we'll have some more content there.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more content from them there. And then we can go to the next couple who I didn't realize this was going to be the case. But we go to Danielle and Johan, and we open up with Danielle in the States.
Talk about time jumps. Like, she's been there back in the States for a month. It feels like we missed an episode for them. And it's just like, didn't last time we see them, they were like arguing about something, and then all of a sudden now we're just she's in America. It's been a month.
Yeah, like last time they had just argued, and then they did the makeup, right? Because Johan didn't come back home to her and like went to his family's place for the night, and she was not happy about that.
Yeah.
And suddenly now, a month removed since she's been in the States, so we don't know how many more days she was in the DR with him before she went to the States. So it could easily be 2 months since. We have no idea or barometer of this. And also, they were the bye week last week. So the thing I just described was episode 6. So yeah, blink your eyes. She's in the States and she is waiting for she was like, I gotta wait for the school year to be done before I could leave. So now I'm here, I'm packing, getting ready to leave. I don't understand that logic if she wasn't teaching at the moment.
Was this spring break or something she went to the DR? Like, was
it possible? A break
from school, maybe. She just went over there for a little bit and came back. So who really knows? I guess she just went over there initially to like set stuff up for her to come back, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I remember episode 1 when she was talking about how, yeah, I could stay an extra year and get that extra 15K, a year. But no, I'm not going to do that. But then she wasn't permanently gone, so I'm confused. Anyway, she's now packing to move from New York altogether. She ends up getting to the DR with 10 suitcases worth of stuff. But she didn't tell Johan she has 10 suitcases. She's like, he probably should have known, because obviously now I'm moving and I've got a lot more stuff.
How would he know exactly how many suitcases you're coming with, first of all? And here's like, and let me tell you something. Going back to that apartment she was in, I was getting hives just looking at it as she was describing, like, I need all this cleaned up by tomorrow at 5. I was like, oh my God, I could not even, my anxiety would be through the roof. I couldn't deal with that much crap and having to get it all out of there within a day. Let me just say that. But for her to be like, he should have known I was coming with 10 suitcases. Why would he know that? Like, how many suitcases would he think you're coming with? She has obviously shipped some stuff, because she said she had her life in 16 boxes and 10 suitcases. Those 16 boxes, I think, were being shipped. She brought these 10 suitcases for what reason? I don't know.
How much money did she pay to check 10 suitcases? That's what I want to know.
That's got to be a lot, right? Like, I'm not a frequent flyer, so I don't really know how much it costs to check a bag, but it's not cheap. I know that much.
I'll tell you this. When I'm traveling internationally, I believe it's you can have 2 suitcases, and I think it's like a 50 pounds per. Don't quote me on the weights. It's been a minute. And also, you know, the things be changing all the time. But to me, I remember being like, oh, this is a pound over. They might charge us $100. We got to like fix that. So 10 suitcases, that is hella more pounds. That's going to cost way more. And I still can't get over the fact that she was giving him nonsense about the peanuts. Here she is. I mean, granted, this is her moving permanently, but if you were shipping 16 boxes, couldn't you ship your suitcase? Wouldn't it be cheaper to ship the suitcases?
You would think, unless she's like, I know, I need all this stuff in these 10 suitcases immediately. I can't wait for the shipping to get to the Dominican Republic because it might take a while for those boxes to get to her in the DR. She might be like, no, I need every single thing in these 10 suitcases within the next week. Like,
yeah. And does that mean that we can confirm they have a place booked now? Like, is the place they were staying at, that's their permanent home? Well, do we know that?
He says that he got them an apartment while she was gone.
Oh, that's going to be drama.
First question, does the apartment have a refrigerator? That's the number one question.
Does it have a refrigerator in the bathroom? Second question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the second part, right? Does it have something for her skincare routine? So who knows? He said that she has seen pictures, but he knows that it's probably going to be a problem because she's very demanding, in his own words.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Speaking of demanding. OK, so he loads up. So he's brought, what is this? Not a four wheeler. It's like
it's like a normal sedan. Yeah.
Yeah. Normal sedan. They have 10 suitcases. Obviously, these suitcases are not going to fit. You know, when I'm traveling,
she looks at him. She's like, is it going to fit? I'm like, what do you think? Like,
yeah.
You're looking at the car just like I am. You look at these 6 suitcases out on the ground. Like, what do you think, Danielle? Like, why did you ask that?
Let's do the math, right? The trunk can fit 2 suitcases at most. The back seat can fit 2 suitcases at most. That means 6 suitcases are unaccounted for.
Aren't you supposed to be a teacher? Like, shouldn't you be able to figure this out? What kind of teacher do you think Danielle is? Like,
not math.
I have to imagine that she's like one of those teachers where you come in, you know you're about to watch a movie that day.
Oh yeah, you walk in and that TV is sitting right in front of the class.
The AV cart's up for you. Like,
oh yeah,
yes, we're watching a movie today. Like, Miss Danielle's always watching movies. She's never teaching a lesson plan.
The coolest teacher,
yeah, bar none. Probably hung over from the night before from her like witch ceremonies or something.
Yeah. So then he loads up all the suitcases on top of the car with God knows what kind of reinforcements, but it looks sturdy.
Strap, Puya. He has one strap that he has used to secure all his bags on the top of the car.
That strap is holding suitcases for dear life. And then Danielle gets in the driver's seat because she's like, well, I'm going to drive because I'm the more experienced driver. And Johan's not having any of that. And initially I thought, well, Danielle, Johan is the one, like, it's his country. He's the one that drove here. He can do it. And then she tells us, you know, I've been driving for 25 years. Johan's only been driving for a year and he's already gotten into an accident and gotten a ticket. I was like, all right, you know what? Danielle may be talking some sense here. Do not let this man drive.
I mean, but is that so terrible for a year?
I mean, if you've driven 25 years and you have 2 tickets, yes. Versus like a 1 year, like, 1 ticket, 1 accident.
But she's like, I've been driving for 25 years. Have you, Danielle? You live in like Manhattan.
You do live in New York.
There's a lot of driving that you're doing. Like, you may have had a license for 25 years, but I don't know if you've been driving for 25 years consistently.
I'll tell you this. This is my personality by showing. If I was going to drive and Liana's like, no, I got this. It's my suitcases. I'd be like, you know what? If anything goes wrong, it's not on me now.
Exactly.
I'd be like, you drive. I have no problem. Knock yourself out.
I'm not going to get yelled at when these suitcases go flying over the hill. Like,
exactly. Although if you're Johan, you might still get an earful because your reinforcements were weak. So.
And you're dealing with Danielle. So no matter what happens, no matter whose fault it is, she's yelling at you.
The L is coming, Johan. Pick which part of the L you're going to take. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So Johan ends up ultimately pushing that. No, I should drive. And she says, I'm going to let him win this one, which I think was a smart tactical move by Danielle. If he wins this one, you can win the next one. And that's going to be a bigger deal than who gets to drive us home from the airport. So,
yeah, but based on the conversation in the car, I don't think that's really going to be a thing.
Yeah, Johan, go ahead, Jason. Let us know what Johan said in the car.
So yeah, they get in the car and they start the argument where she has to be like, you know, you're just because you're a man doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to get your way all the time. He says, well, I have the penis, so I'm the man, so I'm going to get my way. And she accuses him of acting, well, you act like my dad. He says, well, I don't like it when you don't obey me.
And yeah.
To let me do what I need to do as the man, since I have the penis. And she has like this confession. She's like, I think having a penis doesn't impact your ability to do things. If anything, it prevents you from doing things with intelligence and logic, since this is a thinking tool, but not an effective one. I was like, damn, shade.
Shade roasted everyone. Half the viewership was in shock. And then from that half that was shocked, most of them were like, I can see the point.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, fair enough. That hurt, but it was true.
Yeah. I don't think we got enough of the drive home, though. I wanted to see how many suitcases fell off the car.
Same. I'm very upset they didn't show us that. I wish in that, and I've never wished this, Jason. I've never wished this. But in that moment when he said the obey line, I in my head really genuinely said, I wish Angela was in the backseat right now.
Oh my God. She would have torn up the car from the inside.
Oh yeah. Like the tiger from The Hangover. That car, yeah, done.
Exactly. I mean, listen, Johan, you should have just been in the passenger seat. I feel like as big as you are, your arm is big enough to secure those suitcases from like the car window. Just take your arm out the window and hold them down. That's all you got to do. But I also feel like there's some production vans in play here, and they were just like, nope, we're not going to step in.
Couldn't you just secure an Uber or a taxi for the rest of the luggage, and then you guys split your way home? I feel like that would have been the easier move.
Anything besides precariously putting these suitcases on top of the car like they did.
A choice.
Yeah, I just feel like the production's like, no, we want this to have as much chaos as possible, so we're going to let them work this out with these suitcases on the car, because neither one of them is smart enough to come up with these ideas that Puya is talking about.
Anyone with a pair of eyes on this relationship knows we're about to get into a bad place, because Johan is speaking a language that I do not think Danielle is fine with, and I think a lot of us are not fine with in this day and age. Yet, next week, Danielle is going to meet up with an ex of hers with Johan there, and that I know is going to be drama. I feel like
she's just doing this to be toxic. Like, I feel like there's no other reason but to mess with Johan a little bit.
She was like, oh, you have the penis, so you're the man? Deal with this, man. Here comes an ex of mine, exactly, to make you feel feeble. Perfect. Love it. It's good petty.
And I feel like the Danielle and Johan relationship was actually a long-lasting one. Because I do feel like they thrive off of the toxicness and off of the chaos in their relationship. I feel like they've been together long enough to know each other in these ways. Like, she knows that this is his attitude. Like, this is nothing new. Like, but I feel like they're going to stay together for a while and just thrive off of the nonsense.
But I don't like that, Jason. Boo.
Of course, we don't like it. But I mean, there's like thousands and millions of couples like this in the world, unfortunately. And
unfortunately,
this is the one that's been placed in front of our eyes on the TV screen.
Yeah, that part I don't like. Well, these two are going to be together. They're in the same country now. Same cannot be said for Jen and Rishi, who are on the last day of her visa. Suddenly, again, time jump. We've moved on. We're at the end of the trip for Jen, who's getting ready to leave India and go back to the U.S. So we see her and Rishi have some words a little bit, and Rishi proposes again right outside before she leaves. So she's like, oh, this really, like, you know, I'm now sad, like, but this made me feel very happy that he proposed again. I just thought, literally, Jen, you came here to get married, to have his family know who you are. Family thinks you're a friend. You did not get married, and you got hit with the anchor proposal on the way out to further reinforce
just
that.
Just to string you along a little more. But she does, like, in the beginning of the episode, she's like, and I, you know, I can't believe I had to leave now. They're making so much progress. I'm like, progress?
Where?
Progress? Since when? Like, where is the progress? Show it to me. Like, produce your evidence, because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, absolutely no progress was made from where we're standing. The only progress that was made was, oh, you found out some of the secrets Rishi kept from you. Good progress.
Yeah, you learned that how much of a liar he is. That's the progress. And you may have learned some international law about reading visas.
Yeah, maybe double check your visa moving forward. So they're hoping that it doesn't take 2 years for the next visa. That's really what they're banking on at this point. She says that I'm going to try to reapply as soon as I can, whatever. She gets back to OKC 20 hours in travel mode, which is horrible. And then she meets up with her family and they're having dinner, and her brother is not into Rishi at all. And does not care about anything Jen's putting on the table here.
He ain't having it. She could have told him, like, oh yeah, he brought me, like, you know, a whole bunch of cars, a whole bunch of houses up in, you know, where he lives. And the brother was like, but he didn't marry you, did he? So where's that? Like, I'm skeptical. He's very, very skeptical. I mean, listen, we've seen thousands of people like this and then our 9-day journey.
Oh, yeah.
Skeptical relative. So this is really nothing new.
Nothing new at all. Absolutely run-of-the-mill skeptical family member here. If I was Jen and I'm fully planning on going through with this wedding and this relationship, I would have never told them that, yeah, I found out that, you know, his family's looking for an arranged marriage and I was introduced as a friend. Because I know how that sounds. I know they're going to be like, well, why are you still in this? Are you you're being ridiculous? You're being stupid right now. This is stupid. Yeah. I would never tell my family this.
Yeah, what did they give you, truth serum or something before you stepped in there? Like, why are you telling them all this, like, nonsense? What you have to do is hope that by the time this TV show comes out, you've gotten your life together with Rishi, and then you're just like, oh yeah, I decided not to tell you guys, instead of, like, you know, maybe she's afraid that they're going to see everything anyway, so she might as well be upfront. But why? I don't see the need to give them all the details like this. I mean, just for them to cast their doubts even further to you.
Yeah, it's just going to make your trip harder, especially when you're planning on going back and you're planning on seeing this relationship through. That's just going to make things tough. And you don't want that, because, again, you're going to do it no matter what, right? That's the thing you've agreed to. It's not like she said, let me talk to my family. If they're very skeptical, I won't go through with it. Because that's not. She agrees. She's like, you know, she's committed to this, is what I'm trying to say. Now, in the next time on, we see her getting ready to go back. So I'm assuming we're getting another huge time jump here, because there's no shot this visa didn't take at least 4 months to get, right? Yeah. Like, that'd be impressive if it was anything less than that.
Yeah, I think she says a couple weeks to her friends that she's going back. So yeah, this has to have been a few month time jump for her and Rishi.
Yeah, so spoiler alert, she does get the visa, but then we get one of our questions answered in the this season on, which was, who did Rishi send a picture of himself shirtless to? Turns out he sent it to the friend of Jen who is catfishing him. And I just know there's going to be drama. Now, my question to you is, why did she wait to confront him about this in person?
Why did Jen wait to confront him
in person? Yeah, and this season on, we see her bringing up the picture while they're in person. So
she doesn't, like, call him immediately, be like, why did you do this?
Right, because if she had, I feel like they would have shown that to us in the next time on.
Yeah, I feel like she does. I feel like Jen is the type of person that would prefer a upfront confrontation. I just think that's the type of person she is. I feel like the friend who gets the catfish, like, who is the catfish, who gets the picture from Rishi, I feel like she didn't get a satisfactory response the first time. So I feel like she just kept pestering him until, like, he gave her, like, a promo photo. I feel like, because that looked like a photo that belongs to, like, his personal training website or something. Like, I don't think this is, like, a, you know, naked selfie that he's sending this lady.
No, it's not like a nude. There's no thinking tool in it, you know. So I think it's safe from that perspective. But then I agree with you. We need to see what the friend asked to get this photo. That's what I'm curious about.
Because I feel like we can go to Rishi's website right now and, like, find this same picture. Like, it's a picture of him and his, like, rippling abs to show us, like, how good of a personal trainer he is. So depending on how the friend, like, approached it. Because the first time she, like, approached him was very, like, it wasn't even asking for, like, any sexy pics. It was just like, hey, I heard you're a personal trainer. And I feel like he may have, like, identified a potential client. So he wants to, like, show her, like, his good physique.
Exactly.
I just feel like it's not going to be as blown up as they want us to make it seem like.
Yes. Did you notice that in the, so when we have the footage for Danielle and Johan in the car, we don't see the straps inside the car.
Did he forget to actually tie them into the car?
And I don't.
Like, the suitcases just fly off the top of the car.
That'd be funny. My question is, where are the suitcases? Because they probably gave them to the producers.
Yeah, my question, my thing is probably like, you know, they said cut after that whole like arguing about getting in the car scene. They're like, all right, yeah, fine, we'll just take the suitcases into our production vans and you'll be fine. We don't want to cause any road incidents and like, you know, really like mess up this production. So we'll just take the suitcases off of your hands. I would imagine something like that happened, or a producer stepped in like, let's do this a little safer. How about that?
Exactly. I don't think they followed through with that. So let's then take one more break before we dive into our last couple of the night, and that is Gabrielle and Isabel. All right, we've talked about every couple that we're not rooting for. Time to talk about the one couple everyone is rooting for, and that is Gabe and Isabel here.
Our shining stars.
They really are. They really are. Without them, this season would be in the dumpster. So the dinner went well. That's good. They had a good time with the family. Gabe is feeling bad because, again, everything going well, I think, further makes Gabe feel guilty that he's withholding this information from her family. But then Isabel is also worried and scared about all this. And she's worried primarily because Gabe hasn't really thought about what words he's going to use exactly and how he's going to approach this topic, which to me, I can see her concern. Because she's like, well, my parents are very strict, so I feel like they're going to need to know, you know, I need to know what you're going to say so I can help you with it. And there's nothing to help with here right now.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting that this is the first time we're really seeing her question whether or not this is going to work out well for her, and see if she, and to really find out what action she's going to take, you know, depending on how this conversation goes the next day.
Yeah. And I feel like it kind of could do with the fact that at the dinner table, God was mentioned. You know, I believe it was Isabel's dad. It was like, you know, and always, you know, have room for God or something along those lines. So yeah, I feel like
made her even nervous. It seems like me exactly. Even more nervous, like, oh, this is not going to go well.
Yeah. So then that was one scene. The second scene, they're going horseback riding with her parents, and then they're having like a little bit of a snack, lunch, sit down thing right after. And everything goes well until they sit down. And then when they sit down, Gabe says, well, I don't want to keep a secret or lie to either of you, and I don't want you to think I'm being deceitful. And this is all being said through the translator egg, which is then spitting it out for the parents to understand.
This was the app, though. This was the app on the phone. I did take note of how they were using it.
App, not egg.
Yeah, because I was like, good thing it's not the egg, because it might come out like a lot differently than the app. I feel like the app is more reliable. If you did an egg, it'd be like, I was born a hippopotamus, and I am now a rose. Like, I feel like it would just come out in a weirder way than it was intended. But yeah, I mean, come on. Gabe, first of all, didn't do this right. You have to wait until they have eaten. Okay? That's the way you do this.
Because no one's going to leave before the meal is served, or if they're expecting a meal, then you got to sit through an awkward meal if it doesn't go right.
Well, I mean, get them nice and fat and happy, like with a nice meal first, and then drop the bomb on them.
I mean, that could have been a strat here. Well, like we know, Gabe isn't really planning that far ahead. I think Gabe just wants to be free now and let it out. I think that's what we're getting here. So, and also, like you said, I think I'm glad you called out the fact that it was the app and not the egg, because I was waiting for Isabel's reaction to see if it mistranslated or anything. But since there was no clarity, I was like, all right, we're good. It's safe. It's good.
Yeah, I did really like the way that it was shot. I like the scene because you can tell he's just so nervous as he's talking into the phone. And then the last part of it, like, we don't get the last part of it translated for her family, like, you know, inside of the episodes. And he's just like kind of staring at them as he's talking,
trying to read the reaction.
Yeah, because he's like, can they pick up any of what I'm saying in English before it gets translated? Like, I'm trying to get a preview of what the scene will be like, but I don't think they picked up anything. And so it was palpable. You can tell how like nervous and anxious he is in this moment before this like app translates the whole thing he's about to say.
Yeah.
It was so riveting as television. Mm-hmm. I will say for TLC, like, you know, they actually stood up to their name in some of these aspects of this season, like for the, you know, for the transsexual conversation earlier in the season, and for like the culture stuff of this episode with Mahmood praying. Like, we got to see, and he talked about why they pray and how they pray. I thought that I was very interested in those like aspects of this season. So
yeah, I'm absolutely very much loving that they are showing us all of this, and they're teaching, you know, they're using this moment to not only inform the viewer, but, you know, to inform everybody as a whole, anyone that either knows like very foundational stuff or don't know anything at all. I've been very happy with what they've done there. The episode ends with the exact line that Gabe says, which is, I've been a man for 10 years and I'm trans. We don't hear the translation. We don't get the full reaction. They conveniently kept that for next week's reaction. In the next time on, we do see that the dad does say, well, I do have questions. Tell me everything. I don't get the vibe that it's going to be bad.
No, I think this is going to go really well, actually. Same. I just think, you know, especially as we didn't see any, like, you know, screaming or yelling in the preview. I think this is going to go really well. I don't have any worries, really. I feel like, you know, it's a plus that they've gotten to know Gabe, I guess, before this was dropped on them. Unlike in, like, let's say a Kenny and Armando situation where, like, Armando has just brought Kenny. He's like, oh, by the way, we're getting married and leaving in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm very optimistic. I'm very happy. I'm happy they're on the next episode, because if they were trying to bye week them after this bombshell being dropped, I would have been so pissed off. So
yeah, at least that would be cheap.
Yeah. At least we don't got to wait too long for that. But that does bring us to the end of this episode, Jason. Is there anything left that you would like to talk about with regards to this season or this episode?
No, man, I think I'm good. I'm excited that I got to come on an episode where we talked about everybody. You know, we did get some shorter segments for some people, but I'm excited mm-hmm. I got to touch on every single couple here.
Yeah, and I'm very happy that you were able to do that as well. And again, thank you so much for coming through, man. We really do appreciate and enjoy having you on the recap of 90 Day Fiancé. Well, let the people know, where can they find you and what are the projects you have going on right now?
You can find me on Twitter at JAYR1085. Things I have going on at the moment, I just wrapped up the show Dear Edward over in Post Show Recaps with Marissa Garza. So that's done and dusted for the season. It was a crazy ride of a show, so come and check that out. Also on Post Show Recaps coming up, we'll be covering The Power on Amazon Prime with Sasa Joseph. So that's coming up in the near future. Also here on the Rob Evans Podcast for Happens Network, I do the podcast Perfect Match along with Asia Welch, where we talk about the show Married at First Sight. So come check us out. You don't even need to watch the show to follow the podcast. We break it all down for you. We have a lot of fun. So come check us out there. And that's it for me.
Thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate that. Y'all can find me on Twitter at PuyaIsm. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. And as far as podcasts go, I talk about Masked Singer with Liana Boris. We have a good time with the season 9 has been a lot of fun, actually. So we have been enjoying Masked Singer, which is definitely a change of pace to how I've been feeling about the show for a couple seasons now. And also, whenever Big Brother decides to drop dailies, I'll be there for the Friday iteration of those to talk Big Brother Canada 11, of course. And yeah, you can find me also on YouTube, youtube.com/PuyaIsm. I've been putting out some projects there. Check me out. Hope you enjoy. And last but not least, if you'd like to leave a rating or review for this podcast, you can do so over on robswebsite.com/90dayfiance. That's the number 0 day fiance. And before I forget, Chappelle and I do talk about Bel-Air on Post Show Recaps. We just did episode 5 of season 2. We've been having a good time there. The season has been very fun so far. No slumps detected, only highs. So I've been enjoying getting my weekly time in with Chappelle as well. All right. But for now, we have arrived at our destination here on the Hot Mess Express. We hope you had fun with us. I'll be back next week to talk about episode 9. I may already have the guests sorted for that, but I'm not going to say anything in case they don't show up. So we'll figure it out next week. But till then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.